This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
In 1 hour, your chance to win tickets to see Kevin Hart in an intimate setting at DAR Constitution Hall. Awesome prize. Make sure you're listening at 4, and we'll have our last pair of Kevin Hart tickets to give away today at 5:30. Those are your two chances to win. With the Commanders looking to draft their generational quarterback soon, don't forget to think about your next generation. The exclusive sponsor for our show, the law firm of Condori & Murad, can guide you and your family in the right direction. They'll help you draft a will, set up a trust, create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them Grant and Danny sent you. Again, that's kmlawyers.com for our buddies Condori and Murad. We got to welcome in our Richmond audience, AM 910, FM 1051. We'll take a dive into the Caps and the Rangers at about 3:30. How should we be viewing the upcoming postseason for the Caps? Nobody thought they'd be here. Feels like house money, but you only get so many of these before the Ovechkin era ends. So we will tackle that in about 25 minutes. Danny, the odds shifted at the top of the draft board on FanDuel, where I like to do my sports gaming. If you look at it, Drake May's basically pulled even with Jaden Daniels as far as becoming the number two overall pick in a lot of these books. Daniels has been the favorite throughout this process. And recently, I would even go as far as to say heavy favorite. I mean, his odds were as short as minus 250 at one point on FanDuel. So that means, for those of you that aren't into the betting as much, basically, FanDuel was saying there's almost an 80% chance that Jaden Daniels gets picked by the Commanders at his peak odds. Over the last 24 hours, we've seen a dramatic shift where May has gone from plus 185, which is a 35% chance to get drafted by Washington that you're betting on, to minus 110, which is up over 50%. Now, the odds don't have to add up to 100%. As an example, Daniels' odds are minus 120, which is about 55% right now. So he's still the favorite. You're getting a little bit of minus money depending on where you're looking at both guys at different points. But the implied probability for Daniels to go first overall, and this is the point, has gone in a day from 55% likely that he was the pick, from 77% likely down to 55%, meaning 22% drop-off. And the question is why, and it seems like there's just assumptions being made based on the agent's tweets, what Schefter's now hedging. That's what they're doing, is they're following some of the insiders. Books don't really have much inside intel. Peters, Newmark, the Commanders, they're not talking to anybody. And oftentimes, books lose a lot of money on the draft because they don't know much more than anybody else.
Right. For games, they've got their analytics, their models, their predictive things, and a whole bunch of teams and people that can take bits of disparate data, prioritize it, and spit out something that makes a lot of sense, right? Where you go, man, how'd they know that a three-point game where the odds were, where our team was 2.5 points favored, et cetera. This is they're trying to find inside information that there really isn't much of, because as we know, this is lying season, this is misdirection season, this is agenda season. So they are reacting to things in real time, but it does tell you a little bit, right? Because it is reflective that whatever you think of each one of these little incidents or non-incidents, whatever you want to call them, there's something. It's making some waves. There are some ripples. And maybe you could argue that if you're super cynical, you could go, well, that's just the books taking advantage of simpletons who are overreacting, and now they're going to waste a bunch of money on Drake May. I have no idea.
Well, why? That's the question we have to answer, is why? Why have the odds changed, right? I believe that the books before the draft just track the insiders like the rest of us do. So if Schefter or Rap Sheet or somebody comes out and has something that they feel like is legit, that's going to affect the odds largely. But it's not always that. It can be a reflection of bets that are coming in from what they perceive to be sharps. Yep. You know, the odds are going to change based on how many bets, quantity, and the quality in terms of the amount. Like, if there's people that they know hit a lot that they consider sharp bettors and they put a bunch of money down on something, it can change the odds. A lot of times, though, and this is where you just kind of don't know what the book's thinking, they also do it to entice a bet. If they move things very quickly, especially in a situation, they're not going to do that where they actually think UConn's going to cover 11 or something. But in a situation where they have no idea, they might do something dramatic a couple of days out, a week out, because then the public assumption is, oh, they know something, so I got to hop on. So they're also just trying to inspire business, motivate some type of action. And it's why I always say, like, these guys know what they're doing. The buildings are big for games, as you just pointed out. It's amazing how often you're watching a game and it comes down to right there on the number, right? Maybe I'm oversimplifying this. I don't think they know that much when it comes to the draft. There is a reason why. I think the guy's name is Derek Stevens, who owns the Circus Sportsbook out in Vegas, over on like Old Vegas. He was on VSiN yesterday, and he basically was like, this is my worst day of the year. The first round of the NFL draft every year is my least favorite day. I think there's a reason for that. They take a bath. And a lot is being made, and a lot of people are going, oh my gosh, Drake May's now even with Jaden Daniels. Look at this. This is incredible. To me, that's close to a nothing burger. I point to Will Levis, who at this point, a year ago, moved to minus 145, was the decided favorite to go number two overall. Number two was right, but it was the second round, not the number two pick. When he went to round two, he was the favorite to go pick two. Nobody knew anything. And I just circle back to what Bill Belichick said this week. I want to say he was on with McAfee. They've been killing it with guests. But he suggested when the Patriots started to care about information that was out there that was getting leaked was generally within 12 hours of the draft. He said that's when more people get plugged in on the decisions. That's when your board is officially set, or, you know, the decisions are kind of in pen.
You're all but made, yeah.
Everyone, nobody's writing anything down right now. It's a lot of verbal stuff, right? But he's like, the last 12 hours, things start coming out, start believing it. Right now, I think it's just a big guessing game. And the blind's leading the blind in a lot of ways.
I think there's a lot to that. You know, for every Will Levis, you're 100% right. I think there's a Trayvon Walker who people weren't sure who the 1-1 pick was, and Vegas nailed it. I guess my point is, I don't think that contradicts your general theme, though, here, which is, everybody's doing their best to follow the data. Now, they're really good aggregators of that data because, again, they're in business here. This is not casual. This is not, hey, man, you know the thing that I buy is that Drake May's agent unfollowed this guy on Twitter. They're not doing that crap. They're doing all of it. They are examining every bit of information because it's their business to do so, to kind of, as you said, it's either we know we're not going to do great on this, so let's try to entice bets in either direction. Let's just get the most action possible because we take our little juice, the little vig there off the top to keep the buildings tall. Or it could be any of a million different possibilities. However, when something significant happens to move the betting market, do we take that as gospel? No. Do we acknowledge it and say, now this means that it registered, right? If this was not a thing at all, whatever it is, whatever you want to call the it, then you wouldn't have seen much reflection. But you did. You saw a pretty significant drop in the odds for Jaden Daniels to go number two overall, and maybe an increase for Drake May. That could be an overreaction. But it's something. They are moving based on things that we're seeing, and it's up to us whether we go that's significant or otherwise.
Let's go to Chris, who's in Rockville on Grant and Danny on the Fan. Chris, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Doing well.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's where there's smoke, there's fire. It's Adam Scheffner. You know, I think he's on to something here. I mean, he doesn't really say things just to say things. He doesn't go on record. And, you know, he first started with the whole with Dan Quinn. You know, he's the one first one I put it out there. You know, hey, hold on. It's Ben Johnson at DC isn't as, you know, sure as what everyone thinks. So he's always, he's on to something. So, I mean, it could be a point case where, you know, Jaden Daniels just doesn't want to be here, or something happened and there's more than meets the eye. And, you know, the Commanders are going to have a plan B. I think they did want to take Jaden Daniels. I think that was the plan. But, you know, these things come up, and that's why you hear, you know, you heard on the Adam Peters, you know, the press conference that, hey, there's still things that they have to check in on, that, you know, they have to do their due diligence. And who knows, they might draft Daniels and trade him. I mean, but for me, I think, you know, everything just lines up, you know, with the odds and everything. I think they're taking Drake May.
Wow, interesting.
Thanks, bud.
I mean, that goes against the grain. Certainly, I would say, as of Tuesday afternoon. Because to me, Wednesday is when the momentum swung back toward even, or toward May, in the sense that everybody thought, you and I did the show Tuesday, they had gone and picked up Jaden Daniels in a town car. You know, Dan Quinn and Adam Peters were in the car, and Drake May and J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix were fighting their way through the Uber lot trying to find an Uber to get to Dulles. And I thought, there's my dumb smoking gun that I'm going to believe. Everything was coming up May to the point where he's minus 250, if you believe in any of the odd stuff as indicators. You could do that with games. I don't know that you could really do that with the draft. But it has changed so much starting with those tweets. Because you go, if the agent and the player were really excited about going to Washington, if this was basically a done deal that they felt good about and the team felt good about Daniels being the number two pick, that doesn't seem like something you'd be doing.
Yeah, you wouldn't give a damn about how they conducted an interview. You'd go, dude, I got to go to Topgolf.
And by the way, if you did, right? I'm quite sure there are other agents of the 22 players that were like, that's weird. I wish they wouldn't have done that. You just don't make it known. You don't publicly out the team. So that was the first time that you go, huh. And now you got Schefter coming out saying, among other things, hey, when I said go get your Jaden Daniels jerseys, that was a little misleading. That clip, I said all this other stuff too. That's a hedge. Now you've got him saying, by the way, remember, this whole time Jaden Daniels has actually had his eyes on the prize of Vegas. It's just a lot swirling.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to bet right now, I absolutely still think they're taking Jaden Daniels. I want to be clear about that. But if I was 80% sure of that on Tuesday, I'm like 55% sure of that now. Because it just seems like a lot of nonsense and noise if they were planning on having a big press conference and sending a realtor to meet with him to go find him a house next week. Let's go to Brian in Chantilly here on The Fan. What's up, Brian?
Yeah, hi. I was wondering, do you know if there's anything stopping Caleb Williams betting on himself being taken first overall?
Well, there was a player who just got banned forever in the NBA who was betting on his own unders on
Jontay Porter.
Have you seen that story, Brian?
It is, but the thing is, like, the guy's not an NFL player until he gets drafted, so why couldn't he?
Well, look, do I think you could stop him from having a buddy place a bet for him or something like that? No, probably not. But you run the same risk Jontay Porter did, where they are checking into how big the bets are, who's making money off of these things, tracing it to people, doing due diligence. Is it worth it to potentially risk losing millions and being vilified and being suspended? I would say probably
not. I'd say no on that.
For, you know, a couple grand or whatever you might make that isn't noticeable. Because once you make enough money that it's noticeable, that's where you get caught, Jontay Porter.
Yeah, like if he bets $10 million that Caleb Williams is going number one and it's by Waleb Killiams on the ticket,
yeah,
like someone might notice.
If he bets $100,000,
yeah,
it'll be like no one's betting on that because it's so obvious that the odds are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to actually do the numbers. But like $100,000 might make you $1,000. You know what I'm saying? Like no one's making that bet. Now your point
is -$10,000.
I think a better point would be like, let's say Jaden Daniels was told by Adam Peters the night before the draft, we're taking you, don't tell anyone. And the odds were still what they are, where it's like minus 110, minus 120, and you could actually get a return and almost get back what you're putting in. Or maybe Drake May. Like Drake May right now is even money. And they say, hey, dude, we're taking you. And he could put 10 grand in and get 10 grand back. That's still going to be a bet that they're going to track and is noticeable. There is still a system in place to try to figure this stuff out. There are also, to answer your question directly, rules. You're not allowed to bet, and I would imagine as soon as you've opted into the draft process, you're signing up for the same rules that the NFL players have. Because you've given up your amateur status, right?
Right.
You have hired an agent. You're now deemed a professional. So I would imagine at that point it's illegal to bet on football-related activities. Let's go to Ben in Philly. What's up, Ben?
What's up, Ben?
Hey. First of all, I just want to say Caps really represented Wednesday night. I was at the game. It was just super
awesome. Were you in Philly? That's cool, man.
Nice, dude.
Yeah, it was awesome. We took over. I mean,
there were
really
so many Caps fans there. It was great.
Yeah, there was a good number. So, hats off. Maybe we can do the same thing at the Garden. I just want to, I guess, say that I was torn between Drake May and Daniels. And my main concern with Daniels was, okay, how does he handle pressure? Like, how does he handle being in a situation where you might have competition? And so I felt like the Topgolf outing was actually pretty cool because here you are. It's a job interview with other guys who might be taken ahead of you. And if this is the response, like, does that indicate how he might respond if he plays bad and, you know, Mariota gets in? Or, you know, maybe they take a guy in the fourth or fifth round. You never know. So to me, I think it actually is a pretty great strategy if that was intentional and if, you know, the building was a little bit torn, like maybe DQ is really about Daniels and Peters and Lance are a little bit less convinced. Right. Like, to me, your decision is made now. Like, it's Drake.
Wow.
I think that, well, that right there to me, and thanks, Cole, but appreciate it.
That's telling because he's saying I was on the fence and this moved me in a direction.
That's the key. It's like, if you're not, like, again, I'm a Daniels over May guy, I think you're the opposite, which is fun. I think to have the scouts and have the people to do this for a living, I think that line up in the same directions. But if it's not that close for you, this doesn't matter. This is a negative. It's a one bean in a giant jar, and you go, okay, well, I got one in there. I still got plenty of positives. That's what I'm taking. If it is that tight, if it's that close and they're split in the building, this would give ammunition for the other side, in theory.
Right.
Right? I think that's the central point here.
I don't have a good analogy. I'm coming up with this on the fly, and I'm quite sure it won't work. But let's say I need 10 pounds of water to, like, break the bag. And the bag is me drafting Jaden Daniels. There were way more pounds of water added to the bag for me by what the agent did than by Schefter coming out saying his preference is to be elsewhere. I'm not going to put a whole lot more water in the bag right now. Okay. You like the Raiders? You like Antonio Pierce from when you played for him? That's great. Cool. I respect that, man. I don't think I'm putting any more water in the bag at all unless you say, I really don't want to play there. Well, now we can just cut the bag and let the water fall out. But I put several pounds into the 10-pound bag when the agent comes out clicking around on social media. I don't play that game with my QB. I don't need, my quarterback cannot be a distraction, won't have it, can't do it. I need Drew Brees. Give me Patrick Mahomes, right? I need the guy who's going to do and say the right things. Give me the way even, you know, non-contract issues when they were at odds, the way Lamar's operated. Like, that's what I'm looking for. If you can't be that guy, and that means surrounding yourself with a bunch of people that are not going to be a distraction, then, yeah, that's a big problem for me. But the fact that he likes the Raiders maybe more, cool. A lot of these guys that are getting drafted have jerseys in their closet.
Yeah, grew up fans of other teams and other places. That's reasonable.
Frank's in Frederick, home of the Ghost of the Keys. What's up, Frank?
What's up, guys? First-time caller. Great show.
Thank you, bro. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Yeah, so this just gives me a lot of diva vibes because me personally, if putting myself in Jaden's shoes, if I didn't feel the way that the agent is portraying, I can promise you my agent would not be putting that nonsense out there because I'd simply be like, hey, man, listen, go to Twitter and fix this or else I'm going to fire you. I mean, the agent hasn't walked it back at all, so I kind of feel
exactly.
Like that's how the whole camp feels.
There, you know there's I mean? Another agent in that agency, Frank, and I appreciate the call,
thanks,
man.
Buddy.
Sorry to cut you off, but you made a good point. So there's another agent in the same agency who came out today and What did he say, Danny?
Fake news, I think.
Yeah, he said that Schefter pointing out that the the agent's upset about the Topgolf thing is fake news. But this is another agent in the agency.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's real quick to retweet that and pat him on the back and be like, see, I told you it's not a big deal. I haven't seen the original agent who did all the liking of the tweet say a word about that, right? Where is he? You know how easy it is to make a quick one-minute video being, hey, guys, we love Washington. We think the process was really cool. This was completely misconstrued. And even if that's not how you feel, which I think would be a lie if he came out and said that, because it's pretty clear that you didn't like how they did it, do that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's called putting a fire out. It's basic damage control. And it has not happened. And weirdly, a couple days later, it's still being talked about right here. And it's not like we decided to do it. Right before we went on the air, Adam Schefter was talking about it nationally for millions of people on ESPN. Chris in Hyattsville, what's good?
Hey, Chris.
What's up, guys? Listen, I think this is like, you could go, there's three options here, right? If let's say Jaden Daniels is the only guy they really like it to, right? For whatever reason, that they've done all their analysis, and if they're going to draft a player or two, it's him. You got three options: draft him and make him love you or whatever, or just have him deal with the consequences. Like, you draft him, you own his rights. Two, you could trade the pick before the draft, before that selection. Or three, you could Eli Manning him, right? You could draft him, and if you don't like it on draft night or they're not happy, hold out for the highest bidder.
I mean, that's the road you don't really want to go down, because
why would you do that?
Well, in theory, that somebody, the place he does want to go, you force them to come up and give you a bunch of stuff, or someone else wants him.
You're going back to 11 and not getting a quarterback?
Well, I mean, that to me is dangerous. That's playing chicken with afterburners on.
Yeah. Take the quarterback you like the most at 2. It's really simple for me. If that's Jaden Daniels, I'm sorry that your agent doesn't like Topgolf. And I apologize that we're not the Raiders. Bring your lunch pail, mm-hmm, and let's get to work, buddy. We got a Super Bowl to go win. That's how I'm feeling about it. I mean, if I like Daniels the best, Jaden Daniels is going to be talking to Tress Way about whether or not Tress wants him to wear number 5 in a few days. I got to like him more, and if it's dead even, there has been enough here that could be a tiebreaker at the 12th hour. Why did they say 12th hour and not 24th hour? I've never got that.
Oh, it's a good point. Well, because it's not, because we do 12 midnight. Like, the clock strikes midnight. That's our normal thing, is when it gets to 12. It is a 24-hour clock,
though. The idea is that at 11:57,
yeah,
they decided it.
Like, before, oh, my God, the day's almost over.
Okay.
Right, it's like
that.
That
would be the 24th hour of the day.
It really would. What you've done is poked a hole in that entire form of expression. You're 100% right.
Somebody can let me know why they say that, whoever they are.
Who's they?
800-636-1067. You want to hop in. Shefty on McAfee today, saying Daniels, throughout the process, has had interest in other teams. Doesn't mean he's not interested in Washington, too, I would point out. Winning off the field at 3:45 and Kevin Hart tickets at 4 on G&D.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
G&D on the Fan, thanks much for making the show part of your day. Great DC sports weekend looms starting tonight. 6:45 first pitch. Game 1 of 3 between the Nats and the Astros. Fantastic pitching matchup. Young power lefty Mackenzie Gore against ageless wonder coming back from injury and rehab, Justin Verlander for the Astros. Do you think Steven Strasburg will be at tomorrow's 5-year World Series anniversary celebration? He is, in fact, the World Series MVP. Almost 20 of his teammates are coming back. He's no longer publicly at odds with the team after they allowed him to walk and kind of keep all of his money and retire. Do you think he's going to be here?
I've gone back and forth on this. I now think he will not.
Same.
I just don't think, as cool as it would be, is if he was the surprise, like Dozier comes out and, Zim's back again, and, a couple of the guys are still on the roster, Robles, Corbin, Tanner Rainey and company, because a lot of guys who were stars from there are playing for other teams, which is a bummer, but nothing you can do about that, right? You can't make Scherzer and Rendon and Trey Turner and company come back, Daniel Hudson and so forth. But you're going to get the pop for all those guys, and how cool would it be if you're able to all of a sudden, you know, drop the white stripe, Seven Nation Army, he trots out the surprise guest, people would lose their minds. I just don't think you can leave that up to chance. You know, like, I just don't get the sense that it's happening, and I don't know the particulars. I don't know if it's one of those things where it was the tacit handshake. Okay, fine, we'll get this deal done. We'll get it done. I'm going to sign on the dotted line. Please, thank you. I'm retiring. Goodbye. I get my money. And we're just going to go our separate ways. I don't know if it's still acrimonious. I don't know. But I don't get the sense that he's going
to
be there.
Well, I want him to be there. And if he's not there, I will blame him and not the team. Because it seems like they extended the necessary olive branch, by all accounts, of paying him his money and coming to some type of a public agreement. And to me, that was your Ted Leonsis, Muriel Bowser hug after all the acrimony. So to continue to hold the grudge after that is not cool. Like, move along, please. I really want him and hope that he's there. We'll see. I'm not going to go a whole lot further or crush him before he doesn't show up. But Monday, if he's not there, I want to have a conversation about why that was such a missed opportunity. But yeah, I have been saying all along, I think they're doing a big surprise. But as I've thought more about it, you know, when the Caps honor TJ Oshie and when they honor John Carlson for 1,000 games, Toby pointed this out to me, and I thought this was a great point. They give you a week heads up and say, hey, be in your seats for this celebration. Be as loud as possible. They do it the right way. Like, what's the point of a big surprise? And then on top of that, just conversations I've had with people behind the scenes over there, it seems to me like the tea leaves are, they're not really sure, but they're certainly not banking on it. They're not fully expecting it. So I am dubious as to whether or not he shows up. But that'll be the big story of the weekend, one way or the other than the actual baseball being played. Meanwhile, the Caps are getting ready for the Rangers. We'll be covering them in the Beltway Blitz. And we will also be breaking down the series and the matchup before we get out of here today. Number one seed in the East, New York. They're loaded.
President's Cup win.
President's Trophy winning number one team in the National Hockey League in the regular year. But the Caps did split four games with them. They play a pretty physical, heavy style. They can trap in the neutral zone. That should give the Rangers some problems. It's just boring to play against. You know, you really have to be willing to kind of muck it up. And if you try, it's like the old Penguins in a way. Not stylistically the same, but when the Caps were the team that wanted to get up and down the ice, it's like one mistake and all of a sudden goes the other way.
There's the counterattack, right?
So the Caps will try to turn the tables in this postseason.
Keep it low scoring, a lot of dumping and chasing, a lot of, you know, grinding, grabbing, clutching, holding the whole nine yards, right? Like, can't give them power plays. And you got to try to get, you know, some bodies in front of the net and maybe get a bounce in or two. And that's the way to do it. And that team is so loaded.
It is not the most visually appealing style. It's why a lot of the markets and people around the NHL said they wanted the Red Wings or another team to get in over Washington. Sorry about your luck. At minus 37 goal differential was good enough for the Caps to make the playoffs. Tip Matt in D.C. who's been waiting patiently to talk Jaden Daniels. We're 6 days from the NFL draft. Schefter saying today Daniels prefers to be in Vegas on ESPN. What's up, Matt? How are you?
Hey, boys. Thank you so much. You all are the best.
Thank you, buddy.
Hey, real quick on the Cats. I just got to say, I've been a fan since 98. We are just not a day goes by where I don't think how lucky we are to have Ovechkin these years. I mean, we've had the LeBron James of hockey right here for 17 years, and it's just unbelievable.
I was talking about this the other day, and you can hang on to make your football point. But, to me, this is – we take it for granted. We don't talk about it enough. And it's not just Ovi, which is so true. It's the product that we've had, right, where, you know, every time they lose a couple games and the era's over, people start to bash it or get, you know, they get come down on Ovechkin or why they only won the one cup. To go almost 20 years as one of the top teams in the sport, now I'm a process over result guy, to have such a good process and to have provided so much joy, my falls, my winters, my springs, sometimes my summers, you know, every year since I was in high school of my adult life, it's been a treat. And frankly, the other three teams, the Nats to a small extent occasionally, but the other three teams haven't held a candle to it in terms of the amount of happiness and success they've provided. So, yeah, I think we take it for granted.
It's been absolutely unbelievable. I mean, some of these games have just been euphoria over the years. But anyway, I did want to get into – so I've been listening to this for a month. And, you know, to me, Danny, I got to say, to me, the Jaden Daniels downside is the game changer for me. Therefore, I'm a Drake May guy. I think the downside is potentially massive. He is that RG3 body type. And I think that every time that those 210 pounds leave, you know, cross the line of scrimmage, my heart's going to be in my throat. I don't know if I want to live that way every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give me that 6'5", 230 who might grow into that Josh Allen type. And so here's my point I want to leave you guys with. And then maybe there's a game on ultimate upside here. Do we actually overrate dual threat? I mean, true dual threat. So I view Patrick Mahomes as absolutely dual threat, but truly his elite power is the ability to pass, you know, with elite accuracy from any position. But when you look at the Super Bowl champions over the years, I mean, I kind of look down the list. It feels like it's Steve Young and no one else. You know, again, Patrick
Russell
Mahomes
Wilson,
aside, he's like a,
you know, made plays with his feet. Mahomes. But to me, the secret sauce is passer who can run.
Yes.
That's what you're looking for. Athletic, scrambling, creating playmaker. Now, sometimes I think the guys who can run don't get enough credit for how they're throwing it. Like, I'll give you an example. Jalen Hurts, to me, is a dual threat. But if you go back to a year ago, he's referencing Mahomes. Mahomes got outplayed by Jalen Hurts in the Super Bowl. He deserved to win a Super Bowl. I view him as a dual threat quarterback. More so probably than anybody who's won a Super Bowl. Like, Lamar has not gotten closer, sniffed one. More of a dual threat. But Hurts, two seasons ago, not this past year, but the year they went to the Super Bowl and he played so well, he threw the ball exceptionally well. He was brilliant from the pocket, largely. So I don't think there's any one way to do it. Because history says more guys have done it who played this way. Okay, so no one has yet. I don't necessarily like making hard and fast rules. But if you're asking me what is my proclivity, it's why I look for guys who can win from the pocket, who are athletic enough to make plays with their feet. That describes Drake May. I think it also describes Jaden Daniels. But Daniels, to me, is probably a truer dual threat where when you can run like he does, there's always that kind of idea in the back of your head. And it's why you run from clean pockets. It's why sometimes the pressure to sack rate can be higher because you're holding on thinking you're about to leave the pocket, right? So you're saying, do we overrate it? I think that's probably case by case.
It's entirely possible, but I say
give
no.
Give me the passer first who's an athlete second.
Totally. I mean, to say Lamar, you know, let's pick on Lamar Jackson for a second. He's a Zay Flowers fumble at the goal line away from being tied with Pat Mahomes. A lot of guys don't have Super Bowls because Pat Mahomes is playing.
He also played badly in that game and missed a lot of throws.
Yeah, I mean, it was a 17-10 game.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like nobody played great in that one offensively.
I mean, he had the benefit of having the number one defense in the league, but yes, I agree.
Sure. I mean, so he's been really, really close. Josh Allen doesn't have squat, has an AFC title game appearance. I'd take that guy. I'd love to have him. Joe Burrow lost in a Super Bowl. I'd love to have that guy. It's like, I don't want to draw conclusions. To me, it's a yet situation, right? As opposed to any kind of definitive. And you're right that the Super Bowl winners haven't gone this way. Like, or how do I say that? Haven't exhibited some of these traits. But the improvisational ability, to me, is the thing that's the most important. And who can improvise better than a world-class athlete that you also can't catch? You know what I mean? Like, that's the point. If you have the requisite amount of throwing and off schedule and ability to throw from different platforms and hit all the receivers, yes, please. Then can you take a terrible, awful thing that's going to ruin your team's chances and turn it into a dagger for the other team?
Yeah.
That, to me, is kind of the essential characteristic.
I think I would rubber stamp 99% of what you just said. I would add, though, and maybe this is where we can part company. I think when you have to, like, let's just say you got to play an entire game where you're kept in the pocket. And the Ravens did this more than the Chiefs did, but Lamar Jackson just kind of standing there making
That's
throws.
That's right, yeah.
Can you win that way? Lamar's never going to necessarily be a top 10 or so quarterback doing it that way. Mahomes can. You know, there's plenty of the dual threats. Like, there was a time in Russell Wilson's career where he could win that way, or they could move the pocket, and when he could see the field better because he was a smaller guy, he could still stand there and make throws. Everyone knows you're throwing it on 3rd and 7. Can you move the sticks? We still make all the excuses for receivers and this and that for Lamar, but he hasn't really proven he can do that. But here's the deal. He's a 2-time MVP. He's the best player in the league for 2 years. You wouldn't take him on your team? I bet you would. Let's win off the field next in lieu of a double play because it's Friday. What little thing's gone right in your day that made you feel good that nobody else would care about? You can hit us up at 800-636-1067. You can tweet us at Grant H. Paulson and at Funny Danny on the Fan. Ah, but of course. Today's double play driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealer. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers. Today is our winning off the field Friday staple. You call us at 800-636-1067. You tell us what little teeny tiny thing has gone your way. I've got the perfect winning off the field.
Would you share it, please?
Yes, I would love to. I was very thirsty. I was parched driving home last night. Needed something to drink. I was craving an unsweet iced tea from McDonald's. Unsweet iced tea. Went through the drive-thru. Said, can I please get a large unsweet iced tea? They said, no problem. I pulled around. Window number one, seamlessly. Wasn't like I sat at the wrong window. Well, it was supposed to be at window number two. Mm-hmm. Big, you know, bunch of bread stacked up on the little crates in the window or something. It was just seamless. I walked up. Or I drove around,
right, yeah.
Pulled up. They took my card. I paid. I drove up to the next window. They were reaching out the window with the cup. No wait time at all. And I had the perfect amount of ice in said drink. A perfect ice ratio. I was able to chew ice after I drank the tea for the remainder of the evening. Therefore, I am
winning off the field.
GB, I have one I could share with you. I'll do this pretty quickly. Do you know who you're sitting with right now? Talking about you. Do you know who I am?
Danny Ruye.
Yeah. I've had some accolades. Some things have come my way. I've been very fortunate.
Oh, where's this going?
Right? Blessed to be in the GW Athletic Hall of Fame, which is really cool. Former All-Met baseball player years ago. Probably won something else here and there.
Do you want any?
No, not yet.
He's looking for applause.
No. You hold that applause.
He's running through his resume.
Here it comes.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you heard what he said, right? GW Hall of Fame, for God's sake.
No. It's too late. We have a running bit of shtick on this show, right? Where I refer to my team, I put them in quotation marks, of scientists around the world concerned with saving all life on this planet for the space rocks of death. So, but it's all tongue-in-cheek, right? It's fake. You are sitting in a room, my friend, Grant Harrison Paulson, with a published scientist. I have been published in a peer review study. Everyone's going, what are you talking about? I will share it. I played Borderlands 3. I don't understand how it works exactly, but I'm one of 4.5 million people that participated in a minigame conducted and invented by an actual genius to help solve an evolutionary puzzle about gut bacteria to help track this thing. And because I participated, I am in a peer-reviewed scientific journal. Didn't know I was. Found out just now. I'm in there. I'm part of it. So we're 4.5 other million people, but the point is I'm one of them.
You are one of them.
Published scientist, therefore
the
I am.
When you need them.
Winning off the field.
Good audience, yeah. Come on,
the
applause meter.
The doesn't have anything to say about that?
Nothing? Yeah. Published scientist. Published.
Dan's in Fairfax. How are you winning off the field?
Hey, boys, I got done at work a little early. My coworker came in before you were supposed to, so I get to go home a little early, but the cherry on top is the girl is out of town for the weekend, so I see a little bit of Helldivers 2 in my coming hours.
Oh, I'm so jealous of you.
I can double-click on that Rich and Olney style.
Winning off the field.
I was home alone all last night, and I will be again tonight. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I went to the movie theater, ate popcorn, and watched a film. Therefore, I was.
Winning off the field.
Tonight, I'm going over to Nats Park. I'll probably be cold because God forbid it was ever warm for a damn baseball game in this city, but I digress. I'm going to a baseball game tonight. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
What'd you see last night?
Civil War.
Good? The previews look like it's very intense.
It is very intense.
Yeah. That
so,
good, huh?
Where do I want to go?
That awesome?
I didn't hate it. No.
I'm kidding.
It is a good film. It was nothing like what I expected, is what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Like, I thought the movie would be, first of all, some of the things hit a little too close to home. With just like the vision in the country and everything and whatnot. Having said that, I just think I expected it to be more of a war and less of a movie about photojournalists. And if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. But it is very much about like the journalists covering this war in this like futuristic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can call it post-apocalyptic, but basically
it hasn't been an apocalypse, but the country's at war.
Yeah, well, essentially, thing, yeah. Like it, we're years down the road, and America's now just as bad as a lot of the countries where they've got this several-term president who everyone hates and they're rebelling against, and that's kind of the backdrop and the gist. But the movie was basically we're just following some photographers, and it's like an in-deep story into their mind. It was very good. It was just not what I expected. That's what I'm gonna say.
Okay.
Was it a good film? It was a good film.
How many buffalo wings?
Out of 5 or 10?
It's your scale. You tell me.
Out of 10 buffalo wings, I'll give it 6.8 buffalo wings.
Okay.
Maybe 7.
Like, I'd eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was glad I went.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's audience. The tepid applause in the audience, the way, but they're not sure if they're supposed to clap
Danny
or not.
Danny can't get a freaking applause for being in the Hall of Fame. I'd give something 7 buffalo wings, and the audience is Johnny on the spot. Figure that out, Danny.
That doesn't feel good. I'm a published scientist, damn it.
Yeah. You got published.
No, it's not funny. I did that.
Hot crowd tonight.
Look at the one guy's like, laughing.
What's a pirate's favorite letter?
Don't make me say it.
Arr. Yeah. Hot crowd. Let's go to Joel in Falls Church. What's up, Joel?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hello, Joel.
I am work from home like everyone or so many people these days, so I miss out on downtown lunch. Today I had to go downtown for work. My meeting took me by both Julia's empanadas and Grazie Grazie. I'm going home today with a bag full of empanadas and a giant greasy sub.
There you go, Joel.
Winning off the field.
Hey, so good, you don't have you. To tell me what company, but like what kind of work do you do?
Climate change stuff.
Okay. Why? Let's get to the office, man. How do we feel about that? No?
I miss it. I wish I had like a 2 days in, but yeah. We don't have, I'm the only one based here, so.
Oh, all right. Are you in charge? Could you tell everyone they have to go into the office?
I am the only person in my organization based in the U.S., so.
Oh, so no.
There's no one to go to
so
the
no.
office.
So no. You won't yell at yourself, Joel.
Joel's like, I'm going to go sit by myself. But just generally speaking.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, it's 2024. It's April. Maybe we could get back to the office.
Get on in there.
What if we just went to our desks? Let's go to Anthony and Calvert. Hey, Anthony.
Hold on, guys.
Demotic.
So, listen, I live in Maryland, and I commute to Richmond currently, which is less than fortunate. I was at a Buffalo Wild Wings down in Richmond recently and just had a hankering for some wings. So
of course you did.
Sure, yeah.
Go in right. there. Yeah, of course, you know.
Yeah.
So I go we in do. There, and, I'm first, it's like sticker shock. I'm like, $19 for an order of wings? Are you kidding me? And I'm like, oh, whatever, I'm here. I'll get them. So the waitress, the bartender, rather, waitress, whatever, comes over, and she's like, what can I get for you? I said, I'll take an order of these wings. I haven't been here in a decade. You know, what do you recommend? She's like, everybody really loves the Daytona Beach sauce. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a try. Sauce was great. Then she goes, oh, by the way, it's buy one, get one. So, therefore, I am
winning off the field.
A little BOGO wing situation.
A little BOGO situation.
The way the game is played. Thank you for participating. That is how we win off the field. Next, somebody's winning a pair of tickets to see Kevin Hart at DAR Constitution Hall. We're giving those tickets away as soon as we return on The Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.